Appreciate the specials and the songs that have been sung this morning. I want to say I appreciate the meeting and the spirit of the meeting. And it's a blessing to be able to be in the presence of the Lord collectively together. I'm thankful for the encouragement. Thankful the Lord has made provision for us to have and live a victorious Christian life. He did not leave us without the proper equipment and tools. He gave us what we needed to make it. So if there's anyone here struggling this morning, you can make it by God's help, because He has given us what we need. Desire and interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of the Lord. Write our subject on the board. Kill the food source. If you will turn with me to the book of Matthew in the 15th chapter, ask an interest in your prayers that the Lord would bless His Word this morning. 15th chapter of Matthew, we'll begin reading with verse 18. Let's begin reading with verse 16. Jesus said, "Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not yet ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." There is a profound truth that Jesus was conveying to His disciples here, that evil comes from the heart. And the reverse of that is true as well. Holiness is a condition of heart. Holiness does not come about by clean hands. And that is what the Pharisees had been criticizing the disciples about. It's like they're eating with unwashed hands. Does not the law of Moses say we need to wash our hands? Now, is it a good habit to wash our hands before we eat? It is. Especially you've been shaking hands, and if you really think about it, you're going to want to wash your hands. But that's not what true holiness is, a condition of heart. Just like evil comes from the heart. And when we recognize the source of evil and recognize the source of holiness, it will help us understand what it really means to serve the Lord and the experience of salvation. So to illustrate it this way, if we took a drunk off the street, someone that's just in rags and drinking, and and we bring them in and we clean them up, put nice clothes on them, we remove the bottle out of their hand, and we have a baptizing service. And we baptize them and we dip them once, and we're not sure that did it, so we dip them five times. Are they still a drunk? They're still a drunk. Because nothing changed in their heart. Baptism is a wonderful ordinance. I get excited about baptism. And yet, it's a testimony of something that God did in the heart. So that means that fixing someone up on the outside does not change a condition of the heart. So that means as well, we could take someone off the street that is perpetually in fornication, adultery, and uncleanness, and we could bring them in. They could dress up in modest clothing, for example. And they could start attending service. And they could even testify and they could sing. But are they pure? Do you realize that on the outside that they clean things up? But if they did not repent and were not washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, their heart was still contaminated. So Jesus was conveying this principle of truth, that evil comes from the heart. That's where the seat of evil is in the heart. And the same thing with salvation, with the same thing with holiness. So, and that's the reason the prophet Ezekiel prophesied of a day when the Lord would give us something new. It said He would give us a new heart. He would give us a new spirit. He would put His Spirit within us. Why? Because following the letter of a law does not bring righteousness. I am concerned about worldliness. I'm concerned about those that have a profession of truth. And for some, there is a drift to the things of the world. But I recognize we cannot legislate holiness. Because the legislation of holiness will begin to exalt something on the outside that is not reflective of an inward work. There is an answer to worldliness, and it is a heart change. The answer to worldliness is getting an experience with God that now my desires are after the things of God, not after the things of the world. And the Lord wanted this laid as a foundation, lest anything else in this message you say, yes, but. So I just covered that, yes, but. The foundation of holiness and righteousness is of the heart, as is evil. It's from the heart. But if you have a clean house, I want to keep it clean. If you build a new house, you know there's a way to, at least to help to a large extent, to help keep that house from getting infested with cockroaches. If someone has a cockroach problem, you know there's some things you need to start doing. And that means you need to get rid of what they're eating. You need to clean things up. My wife went in as before we were married, and I've been to the people's house, but she went to kind of help clean, and she said you would turn the light on, and there was just scurrying all over. When the light shone, the cockroaches ran, and they were infested. But the answer, you want to kill the cockroaches, don't you? But do you realize to get rid of the cockroaches, you need to get rid of the food source? You need to clean things up. So there are some things that we have responsibility to do in our lives to maintain a clean vessel before the Lord, to maintain an experience with God. Consider Potiphar's wife and Joseph. Over in Genesis, the 39th chapter, remember Potiphar's wife came and tempted Joseph. She wanted to commit sin. And Joseph, and it might have been here in this meeting, maybe it was in Guthrie, I still remember Brother Doug talking about this, and there's a phrase that I still just remember what Joseph said. He asked himself, he said, how can I do this thing? How can I do this thing? God has been so good to me. The Lord has done so much for me. How can I do this thing? Well, Potiphar's wife didn't stop. She continued until one day she came and she grabbed hold of his cloak. And you all remember what Joseph did? He ran. See, adultery was not in Joseph's heart. His heart was right before God. He says, my heart is right. But there came a time that he recognized, to maintain my clean heart, I'm going to have to get out of this situation. I'm going to have to run. And Joseph ran. Folks, there are going to be times in life that we can say, yes, that my heart is right before God, but we want to keep it right. Which means we need to make decisions and do things in our life that are conducive to the cleanliness and righteousness and holiness of Jesus Christ working in our lives. So he ran. I'm going to get out of the way of temptation. When temptation comes, as Jesus taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation. But are we tempted? Is there anyone here that is not tempted anymore because you are saved and so full of the Holy Spirit that you are no longer tempted? Because if there is, you ought to be up here instead of me. I'm still tempted. Jesus prayed, lead us not into temptation. The temptation is going to be there. But Lord, give me the grace that I don't go into that. That I don't yield to that. And so that means there's going to be areas in our life that we need to learn sooner rather than later. It'll save us a lot of trouble. If we can learn that to run just like Joseph did. Learn to say no to things, that to get rid of the things the cockroaches have been feeding on. The things where the enemy would come in. So I'd like to illustrate it this way this morning. I had a problem with moles in my yard. You all have moles in Louisiana? Okay, so you may know more about them than I do, but I've got a little experience now. So about a year ago, my neighbor is the one that had the problems. My yard was sanctified. It was set apart. And it was holy for a while. And in my neighbor's yard, they got the little mounds and the tunnels. And then it came over onto the edge of my property. And I was concerned about that. I cared. I mean, I wanted my yard to be... I came from Oregon, and we cared a little bit more about our yards. So I had a little background there. I wanted my yard to be good. And so now this mole is coming into my side. Do you know you have to be careful who your neighbor is? Spiritually? Be careful. Be careful where you build. Where you build is going to make a difference. Just as a little side note, I try to keep my yard relatively free of weeds. But you know where my greatest problem is? It's on the line with my neighbors because they don't care about their weeds. So when it rains, the weed seed comes down over into my property from theirs, and then I've got a problem I've got to take care of. So that's what happened with this mole. So it came over on the side of the property, and I started to do some things, but I tried to gas it. I put a trap out, and the thing just dug around and beside, and it was a smart one, I guess. And so then it's like, okay, it's still just on the side of my property. And I came home a couple weeks ago. I got home and looked, and there's tunnels all along my fence. And then it got out into the middle of the backyard, and the grass was dying, and it was busy. And I thought, this isn't good, but you know what? It was still in private because it was in the backyard. It was in the backyard. So I thought, okay, this still isn't good, but at least it's not messing up my front yard. I think you can tell where this is going. Came home again, and it had just almost overnight, it had left tunnels in a big portion, one side of my front yard, and I thought, okay, something's going to have to give here. Because now my shame was public. See, it wasn't just a hidden thing now. It wasn't just something I was dealing with secretly in the backyard. Just think this through now. Now it was exposed to all. There's a mole in his yard, and now it's messing up his front yard, and everybody can see it. Now there's not that yard that sometimes people say, oh, that looks nice. Now I've got what was one time a nice yard. There's dead grass through it, and it didn't look good. So I went to Tractor Supply. They told me there, they said, you can have fun if you want. And you can put traps out. And you can try to herd them. And I had tried that. Do you know what herding a mole is? There's stuff you put down your grass a little bit every day and you try to herd it over back to someone else's yard. I kind of wondered if I was loving my neighbor as myself, but I was just trying to drive it back where it came from. But it didn't work. And so they told me there, they said, you can put out the traps, and you can do all these things and have your fun if you want. But they said, if you want to get rid of moles, they said, kill the food source. Kill the food source. They said, those moles know your yard better than you do. There were grubs. See, on the surface, it looked all right, but underneath, there were lots of grubs. And they said, if you keep the grubs out, the moles will leave. So spiritually this morning, there are areas in our life, if we want to maintain victory, we need to kill the food source. We need to keep our lives, we need to quit feeding the things that are unlike Christ. We need to be careful in the decisions and the choices, because what we feed in our life is going to grow. What we feed is going to grow. And there are life changes that are in order. They tunneled, those moles, they tunneled. For a while they stayed underground. But then eventually they showed up. You know, it's the same way with spiritual needs in our life. There are times that, Lord, I love you and I want to please you. And then there starts, something shows up. So a spiritual problem shows up. And we look at it and we say, that's not good. I don't want that there. But what are we going to do? I think we do need to put out traps. And the reality is this. I threw everything but the kitchen sink at that mole. I killed the grubs and I put out traps. And it was a delight to come home and find I caught that mole. But I want to tell you, I think that mole might have a husband or wife or brother or sister somewhere. So I'm going to keep the grubs killed. That's my intent at least. Because I want to kill the food source. I don't want them coming back. I want them to know that this yard is sanctified. When you come onto this ground, you're not going to find anything to eat on. Spiritually speaking, I know people can speak against holding personal standards of righteousness. And people can say, well, the church says you can't go there and you can't do this. Yes, you can. I think I could get away with it here because I know my brother. How many of you, I'd like a show of hands, and I wouldn't say this if I didn't know the answer. Has the pastor come knocking on your door and said, sister, you need to give that up. I don't want you doing that anymore. Brother, that you need to stop doing that. Do you realize that you can live how you want to live, but you have a relationship with God to maintain. What the minister is doing, as we've heard in this meeting, is preaching the word of God to instruct us and to warn us. But to say, well, I can't do this. Yes, you can if you want to. But that means that in our personal lives, we're going to have to take responsibility to kill the food source, to eliminate the things in our life that will enable the enemy to grow. I trust we'll get the message. Moles of unforgiveness, love of the world, adultery, fornication, lust, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Do we want those things living in our spiritual lives? We don't. I don't want those things. And I think it's very important for us to begin to recognize and pinpoint some of the problems that people are struggling with. We say, well, I have some needs in my life. What is your need? We need to start recognizing this is what this is. There's a mole here, and I'm going to call it by name, and it's trying to encroach in my life, and I know the Lord's not pleased with it. Put out a trap, get rid of it, but kill the food source. Let me illustrate it this way. My brother and I, we actually, years ago, someone we would visit regularly. And almost every time we would go stay with this individual, and we love them, but they would tell us some of the things that had happened in their past. Almost every time we would go. And they would end telling us about all of these hurts and injustices. They would end by saying, but I forgive them. But year after year, we heard the same stories over and over. Do you know that taught me a lesson? Do you know what that was doing? It was feeding something. We can say, I have forgiven, but we need to kill the food source. If there are hurts and injustices that many of us have experienced, it doesn't mean that there's never a time and a place to deal with those or discuss those. But after you have forgiven and gotten victory, there are times that when you start talking about it, it's like, I can't talk about it because you start feeling hurt again. Do you know what I'm talking about? You can actually start feeling hurt. It's like, yeah, that wasn't right. And you start feeling bad about it. And if you're not careful, there'll be some unforgiveness start coming back. So what's the answer? Kill the food source. Commit it to the Lord, and there's a place to quit talking about it. Because the more you talk about it, you're giving food for the enemy to be feeding on. Maybe you have forgiven. Maybe there's not bitterness and unforgiveness, but if you keep talking about it, it's going to start feeding something that is unlike Christ. When someone has repeated failures and someone has a backsliding problem, it's very helpful to start reflecting on the cause of the downfall. What happened? Recently, we were dealing with someone, and there were a number of ministers there, and some of them had not dealt with the individual, and they may have thought I was being maybe a little strong, but it was because I'd been there a whole lot of times. And I said, what is different about this time? See, if we keep doing the same thing over and over, and we get the same result and end in backsliding, what does that say? We need to go back and start recognizing what was the cause of the failure. What was going on in your life? What did you do that got you in a condition over and over that brought you to a place that you backslid? So we can start identifying the moles that need to be killed and what are those moles feeding on to get rid of the food source. What happened? What's hindering? We can cut the top off of a weed, but it's just going to grow back, isn't it? And sometimes we can, on the surface, we can say, Lord, I'm sorry for this, I'm going to do better, and then we move on, and we never really get to the crux of the problem. We're not dealing with it. In Africa, their gardens and their farms, they work it by hand. They don't have tractors, most of them. They're dealing with hose. They use their hose to weed their gardens. And something that I learned in a class I took over there, a lot of times when people are weeding the garden, they're hoeing those weeds out, and they're falling down, and they move forward weeding again. But you know the problem with that? When you pull the weeds out and it's in front of you and you step forward to go get the more, you're pushing those weed seeds back into the ground. It would be better to weed backwards. It'd be better to weed backwards so then you get those weeds out and you're moving back and you're never pushing those seeds back into the ground. I was teaching this to a little rural congregation somewhere, and they said, everybody's going to know who people in the Church of God are because they're going to be hoeing their gardens going backwards. But it's a reality that you don't want to get those seeds pressed back in. When the Lord gives us victories, and the Lord gives us deliverances, and He saves us, and He frees us from the bondage of the flesh and of sin, when we're delivered from that, let's not let those seeds get back down in our heart. You understand the analogy here? The Lord help us to be willing to get down. If we want to control the weed population, I don't want to be putting more seeds back in the ground. I want to do everything I can to prevent them. Well, over in 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the 33rd verse, he said, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. Be not deceived. Evil communication, that word communication, it's speaking about companionship. It's speaking about close contact. Jesus was a friend to sinners, wasn't he? But it was for the purpose of reaching out to the gospel. We have to be very careful about the kinships, about the close contacts that we have in the world, because we are all influenceable creatures. We're all influenceable. So we need to be careful then about who we are listening to, what we are listening to, because it will have an effect on us. If you listen to someone that is criticizing the church all the time, just all the time, that's their favorite topic. They just talk about what people did and what they are and they just have a bad attitude, and you sit under that for very long, do you not think it's going to start having an influence? This is where he's saying, be not deceived. Recognize that evil communications corrupt your good manners. Where you are doing right, when there is a food source that is not good, it's going to bring the moles in. It's going to start affecting you spiritually. And so we need to be on guard about that. This is just practical this morning. We need to be very careful. And I know sometimes that parents, they tell their children and teenagers, be careful about who you're with. Be careful about who you're with. But you realize this is for all of us. The things that we're listening to, are we willing this morning to cut off the food source? If there's a struggle in our life, let's see, recognize it for what it is, but let's also ask ourselves, what is it feeding on? What is there in my life that it's feeding on? And you say, well, it's not sin. I don't want the mole in my life, but all those grubs. What they're feeding on, that's what we're going to have to start eradicating out of our lives as well. Well, that means cutting off some communications. The other week I went to the chapel, our chapel there in Billings, and I noticed that there were some cobwebs in the entryway. And I looked at it, so I cleaned them up, came back the next Wednesday or next Sunday, and guess what? They were back. And I asked one of the young sisters, she actually thought it was a dad joke. It wasn't. I asked her, do you know the best way to get rid of cobwebs? She said, what? And I said, kill the spider. Because they keep doing it. You kill the food source too. If there's no bugs, you think they're going to stay around? There are things in people's lives spiritually that they keep cleaning out the cobwebs. It's a little mixed metaphor from the title, but they keep cleaning out the cobwebs and they want things clean. They want things right with God, and yet the spider's still there. Go to the source of the problem. Go to the source and you'll start finding those victories that we've been longing for. The victories over the struggle that people have with lust and unforgiveness and pride and idolatry and the love of the world. There is a place in Kenny, Brother Doug's been there. There's a little mud hut in a very rural area, very, very poor folks. And we've eaten dinner there, eaten lunch there many a time. And in this mud hut, there is a poster. And I think there's a picture of Brad Pitt on it, if I'm not mistaken. And there's a picture of a big mansion in a fancy sports car. And I've sat there many times, eating, looking at that, thinking there's something wrong with this picture. In other words, it was almost as if this is when you have arrived. This is the fulfillment of dreams. You know, that's not my dream this morning. That's not my dream. The answer and the blessings of life don't come with the fancy sports cars in the big houses. That's not the answer this morning. So I don't want to fill my life with things that are going to feed that desire in me. I don't want that poster in my living room to look at because that's not where my heart is. But if I fill my house with that and I start filling my mind with that, do you know very easily I'm going to start feeding something? I'm going to start feeding. It's going to start directing my desires that's what I want because that's what I'm allowing my eyes to look at. The Lord wants us to start looking at killing the food source of where the enemy's working. Over in 2 Corinthians 10, the scripture talked, well, let me finish this right here first. He said, awake to righteousness. That a word awake means be alarmed. Be alarmed. Awake to righteousness and sin not. In other words, recognize that your communications, where you're going, what you're doing, what you're feeding on, it will have an impact. Wake up. That's what he's saying. Be alarmed at this, lest you be deceived. It's an answer for us spiritually. Put it in your file cabinet this morning. Put it in the spiritual file cabinet of your mind and your heart. In the things when you start struggling, where's the food source? What's it feeding on? So over in 2 Corinthians 10, remember the scripture that says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. It says, bring captivity every what? Every thought. Does anybody here help every thought that comes to your mind? I can't help everything that comes to my mind. But do you realize we can help what we do with it? We need to bring it into captivity. See, we need to recognize that the mind is the battleground of the heart. And if we want to preserve the heart, I'm going to have to preserve my mind. So when the thoughts come, and they will, that are unlike Christ, that's what how the enemy works, I want to be careful and kill the food source. I want to bring those thoughts into obedience to the Lord, lest they get a hold in my life. This is also the reason where David said in Psalm 101, verse 2 and 3, and that's one of our internet passwords at our house, he said, I will set no evil thing before my eyes. He said, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I'm going to walk in my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Why did David say that? Because he recognized the power of influence. He recognized that I need to kill the food source. You say, well, I don't want to be lustful and I don't want to be unforgiving and I don't want to have the pride of the world and I don't want to... But how can we prevent that from coming into our sanctified life? By killing the food source. And so then what happens, I'll illustrate it this way again. I had one of my nephews that he was at grandma's house and there were chocolate chips on the counter. And he was told, don't eat those chocolate chips. But every time he came in, they were right in front of him. So finally he asked his dad, he said, Dad, could you please put those up? Would you put those chocolate chips up on the fridge? He was wanting to remove the source of temptation. Nothing was wrong with chocolate chips, but it wasn't the time for him to eat them. It wasn't the time and the place. And so he got those out of his way. Folks, spiritually, we're going to have to start doing that. And so then what happens through time, and Lord, help us in our understanding this morning. What happens is that we can make a rule about chocolate chips then. Well, in our house, we don't have chocolate chips on the counter. And you need to put your chocolate chips up because we're not supposed to eat those. Well, that was for me. That was for my son. That was for someone else. And so we said, well, there's a reason why we don't have chocolate chips on the counter, because it's too easy to eat them when you're not supposed to. So put them up. Well, then, we kind of set a standard. We don't have chocolate chips on the counter. So that's a good standard. That's a good thing. Well, then what happens is it becomes a rule then. Now it's not just a good practice, and this is the reason. It's a rule. Thou shalt not have chocolate chips on your counter. And then a rule becomes bondage. Well, I was going to make cookies, but saints don't have chocolate chip cookies on their counter. So now what was started out as a good practical purpose, it was kind of a standard, then pretty soon it evolved into a rule, and then it went from a rule, and now we are in bondage. You see where the enemy takes these kinds of things? And then we get into the quagmire of inconsistencies. There's a rule, a standard among the saints that you don't have chocolate chip cookies on the counter. Why do you have pecans there? I mean, you don't have chocolate chip cookies, but you have pecans and you have white chocolate. What's the difference? You're inconsistent. Do you recognize this is what people do when they start looking at things? This is why as we grow up in the Lord and mature, that we need to know why we do what we do. It's not just because my nephew somewhere asked his dad to put chocolate chip cookies, and you know I'm not talking about chocolate chips. But spiritual things, things that are good for me, if something is a problem in my life, that the enemy is using and feeding on, I want to get rid of that. And I also want to be faithful to warn you all, the enemy feeds on this. If you're having a problem with moles, so to speak, you need to kill the food source. If you're having a problem with unforgiveness, are you still talking about it? Are you still talking to everybody about what happened and this injustice? If you're struggling with lustful things, Are you listening to songs that have some of that in it? Are you watching things that have that worldliness in lustful things? You say, well, I wouldn't do that. But if you choose to watch it, you are feeding something in your life. And the enemy is going to grow. And you say, but it wasn't in my heart. But you need to kill the food source. And that's where standards are very important in our personal lives. I cannot impose my personal standards on you. Because what will happen is you'll start seeing them as rules. And then you'll see them as bondage. And then you'll see the inconsistencies. But what is consistent this morning is God has entrusted us with a beautiful salvation. He delivered us. He set us free from sin. And it's, Lord, I want to do whatever I can to stay free. I don't want to go back to the bondage. And if I see that some things from my neighbors, those moles are getting over in my yard, that doesn't despiritualize you to acknowledge that. But there's help. There's things we can do when those influences start to affect us is identify the problem. Put your traps out, but get rid of the food source. I don't want to keep feeding this. Mentioned more than once recently, and I left my phone down there, but this, if you want to call it a smartphone, I guess you can. It's not real smart. That has caused more damage than the television ever did. I remember years ago, some few ministers, we had a number of exchanges back, and there was someone that was wanting us, we need to make a rule against the internet. I'm preaching where we live now. We need to make a rule, we shouldn't have the internet. Well, I see some problems with that. Number one, we can't legislate righteousness. But see, we've got the world in our pocket, folks. What are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? And people are struggling with things more. It's so much today. Why? What are you feeding? What are you feeding? We could say, okay, thou shalt only use your phone 30 minutes and it needs to be from 7 in the morning till 9 in the morning and no internet in the evening. Don't use your phone. You know what? If that's what you have to do, do it. If you need to get rid of your phone, get rid of it. Righteousness starts with a condition of the heart. That's where we need to start doing business with God. Lord, there's something in my heart, Lord. I need you to change me. I need you to give me power, Lord. And if there's something in my heart that I keep going to that, Lord, work a change in me. But when the Lord does His part, we also have to do our part. I want to kill the food source. I want to get rid of something. And so that makes it very personal then, because those rules will never stand the test of time. It will cause confusion. But when we begin to understand in our personal lives what's hindering us spiritually, where is the enemy starting to tunnel in your life? Same thing happens. People struggle with things privately until all of a sudden it gets out in the front yard and everybody knows that's a bitter person. That they love the world. And now how much better it would have been when it first crossed over from the neighbor's yard to say, there's a problem here, Lord, help me to get rid of it. I want to put my traps out, but I also want to kill the food source. The scripture in Romans 13, verse 14, says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not what? Make not provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lust thereof. The Scripture did not just say, don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Scripture says, don't make provision for the flesh. Do you know what that, in light of this message context, do you know what he was saying? He was saying, kill the food source. Don't make provision for it. You say, I don't want to do this and I don't want to do that. Then don't make provision for it. Learn when to run. Learn when to say no. Learn when to say, this is not good for me spiritually. It's not sin in and of itself. And people say, why, you can't, your church won't let you do that. No, you can do it if you want. But I choose not to do it because it starts feeding something that's not like Christ in my life. And I choose to kill that food source and not imbibe in that because I love God more. That's what makes mature Christians. That's what makes a mature people this morning, is recognizing this and being willing to say, Lord, I don't want to make provision. Don't supply the mind. Don't supply the mind and the flesh with the necessary supplies to induce temptation. Because see, there's enough of it out in the world. I am convinced and I am persuaded this morning that when we go out and face an ungodly world, we're going to see things and there's going to be things around us that are so ungodly. But there is grace to keep our hearts and our minds pure and godly before God. But when I choose to bring that ungodliness into my life as a food source, I am stepping outside the grace of God. And then I say, why isn't God's grace helping me? I just keep failing and I don't know why. I don't know why salvation isn't working for me. It worked, but you chose to start feeding on something that fed the enemy, that brought you to a place of failure. So as you go out and live in this world, there is grace and power to live a holy life. But when it comes to what you choose to feed on and imbibe on, if you choose to feed on the things of the world and make provision for the flesh, supply it, you're starting to step outside of where God can help you because you stepped outside of it. So what's the answer? Kill the food source. That's very personal. Do you realize, and it's like when we tell someone, someone asks us why we do something, to tell someone a list of rules to follow, it's not going to last very long. It just isn't. There's someone that asked me one time about a mode of worship. There was something that we don't do. And they said, well, should we not do that? What should we do? And I explained why I didn't do it, but I said, you need to get the mind of the Lord. And they were back and forth for a few years until they came to the place, the Lord doesn't want us to do this. But now they can't say we gave that up because of Brother Michael. Now they can say we sought the Lord and we realized by the Scripture that this the Lord is more pleased for us to lay this aside. And now it made it personal. Now it made it personal. So the ministry warns about the food sources. Not making a rule, but we're going to warn about it. We're going to say, be careful about it. Be careful where the enemy's working. But it's up to us individually and personally to examine our lives. What is the enemy feeding on? As we close this morning, Galatians chapter 5, in the 24th verse. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We are in the flesh this morning, and there are going to be temptations, and there are temptations, but we must put to death those things that lend themselves to the works of the flesh. Crucify the flesh. So is that a one-time trip to the altar? With the straw, can we just go one time and it's all over? And the rest of the time till Jesus comes back, it's clear sailing. It's not that way. But it starts by identifying the problem. There's a problem in my life, but there's also a solution this morning. The Lord has deliverance, but He also has given us the responsibility to, we need to die out to self. We need to kill the food sources of what the enemy's been feeding on in our life and bring them and then walk and live in the Spirit. So as much as we also want to kill the food source of the enemy, we want to water and fertilize and feed the good things of God. Ending on a weed analogy, the best way to keep weeds from getting in your yard, you know what the answer is? It's by having a good patch of grass growing. That's the best way. Those weed seeds, they blow in, and the ground is already covered with good, solid grass, and there's no place. But you get bare spots, why is that where the weeds grow up? So the best thing we can do, yes, kill the food source of the enemy, but then let's also, on the other side of that, let's water and feed the good things of God, and it gives the enemy a lot less room to work. I trust the Lord will bless you this morning. I am thankful that we can live a life of victory. But we are in some very challenging times. We're in some very challenging times, and we need to recognize how the enemy works, where he works, and let's kill the food source. Amen.